We've been talking about Dr. Timothy Keller's four models of counseling. He's described four different ways that Christians approach counseling. We talked about the levels of explanation, separating psychology and theology. We talked about the integration model, where secular psychology is seen as a tool which is subservient to Christian theology, which is also a tool. And we looked at Christian psychology model, which seeks to bring these things together with Christian faith informing and critiquing everything in secular psychology based on the total story of the gospel in the Bible. And then the biblical counseling model, which has almost nothing to do with secular psychology, draws nothing from it, tries to avoid it, as a matter of fact, and to center everything around Scripture. So those are the four models. Dr. Keller, in the rest of his paper, this paper he has written is about 12 pages, probably. So I'm summarizing just a few of these things, and I want to highlight a couple of the things that were near the end that I thought were particularly interesting. He said that all four, people from all four viewpoints, would agree on this basic statement. God gives us knowledge of human psychological problems not only through special revelation of the Bible, but also through empirical observation. We would all agree with that. We learn things about human beings by watching as well as by what we learn in Scripture. But after that, the four views differ on how they put those pieces together and how much weight they give to different things. One of the most important things to me in this whole paper was Dr. Keller's teaching that individual counseling has to be brought together with the Christian corporate, the body, that to teach someone to meet with somebody privately without ever integrating them into the life of the church and the worship of the church means that you're not actually doing biblical counseling, because the Bible requires for health the body of Christ. I don't know about where you live, but in America there are more and more people who call themselves Christians but don't want to have anything to do with church. Well, it's not possible. I mean, I am sure that God can forgive and take them to heaven, but they cannot grow. You cannot grow as a believer. And you certainly cannot overcome the heartaches and the weaknesses and the faults without the body of Christ. And Keller is wonderful about just reminding us that there isn't any individualistic counseling. And so when we talk about somebody just meeting with you one-on-one, we all do that as pastors. But that isn't enough, and nobody can work to real spiritual health without the whole body. And he points out a corollary of this is we've all been shaped by other people. We've been shaped by our relationships, by our families, and by others. So it only stands to reason that we need healthy relationships to offset or to remedy things that have gone wrong. We need the loving acceptance. We need honesty. We need humility, the things that only work. Many of the commands of the Bible make no sense unless you're in a community. What's compassion if you're not in a community? What's humility if there's nobody around? So many things require us to be together in order to grow in godliness. Now, Dr. Keller addresses what he calls the anti-psychological approach. People who just don't want to have anything to do with that, they might be right about the dangers of psychology, but they tend to fall into some other mistakes. One is what he calls the moralistic mistake. The moralistic mistake is basically saying, stop it. The idea is that you can stop your behavior and do the right thing if you repent of your sins. The problem with that is that it's not very gospel-oriented. It doesn't really draw grace into the heart. It's an act of the will. It doesn't require you to think too much about the empowering of the Spirit, about the humility of repentance that draws Jesus close, that Jesus loves you and wants to help you. He's not angry with you. Sometimes those things get lost. We can, as Christians, can become kind of like Pharisees. Do this, do this, do this, and you'll live. And the Bible says, that doesn't work. You can't do this. Even as Christians, apart from the grace, the forgiveness, the help of God. And we want to keep that front and center. So there is a moralistic mistake that sometimes in rejecting psychology and trying to be biblical, we forget that the Bible isn't all just telling us things to do. It tells us ways to think differently, incorporating, involving in our lives the wonders of God's grace and forgiveness and help. Then he talks about, and we've really referred to this, so I'll just touch on it briefly, the individualistic mistake. That is, that counseling is just you and me. That we need the body, and if you don't have the body, it won't work. He also talks about the spiritually simplistic mistake. That's the mistake that says everything's spiritual. Just get your heart right with God. Everything is spiritual. And he says that avoids things like the effect of a family upon you or ill health upon you. These things change us, who we are. It is. It might be something that is a mistake that's more easily made in the West than in other parts of the world, because we're so individualistic already, and we're so distinct. We move away from our families and so forth. So perhaps it's a little more common, but the physical factors in our makeup, who our parents were. How our family functioned. We learn how to treat people by how we are raised. And it's easier for some and terribly difficult for others because of the way they were taught. And then just the physical things that happen to us in our bodies, an illness, an imbalance in our chemistry, some limitation, a crippling disease of some sort. These things all change life. And if we pretend that everything's spiritual, we're not telling the truth about what people are like and what things enter into the way we make our decisions and how we behave. So he says at the end, there is the ever elusive balanced approach. It's a great idea to talk about a balanced approach, but it's not so easy to find it, because these differing things that we all deal with, wherever we live, whatever our situation, our education, our biases, we never find a perfect balance. No matter how much we try to study Scripture and pray, we're still imperfect. But he talks about this, the balance, and he wants us to particularly remember the centrality of worship. I read this to you earlier. The right approach is to say that the foundational problem in people's lives is the worship of wrong things. The main solution is to worship the true God with all your being. The more we do that, the more we help people do that, the healthier they'll be. So he says one implication of that is that we avoid identifying one part of our human nature, our physical or our feelings, or as more important than others. All of them are important if we're to worship God with our whole being. So as counselors, we don't focus on just one thing. He also says that repentance is not just something we need for sinful behavior, but to rather look more deeply into our lives for those false idols, you might say, or things that we trust that are incomplete, that are inadequate, that are lies. So it's not just the deeds we do that we need to think about. In fact, that doesn't really solve problems nearly so often, even though it's appropriate to repent. What really gets to the heart is when we help folks understand what is wrong with us down deep and how to repent of that. And that changes us. And finally, he talks about the need to worship together, that part of worship is something we do together, and it's in the broad sense of worship, fellowship meals, worship services, praying together, all these things Christians do together that bring a balance to process. I think one of his last lines is, the gospel approach puts emphasis on repentance for false trusts to heal a lack of joyful worship in Christ. False trust. That's a great idea because that's what undermines so much. Now, I want to just say before we quit, I agree with him that false trusts are often an issue, and that's what we want to dig for and help people find, repent of, and find healing from God. But I do think there's a category of things that trouble us that aren't really false trusts. And we're going to talk about that in the future. These are what I call the diseases of the soul. And I get that from the 103rd Psalm. And we'll come to that in the next time or two when we visit again.
We invite you to participate in the International Bible Teaching and Gospel Sharing Project. Whether these Christian expanded educational opportunities will become available to people around the world depends on all of us. We very much need and appreciate your prayer and financial support. For more information, please visit tvsseminary.com.